Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
IMUS, morning 6 to 8 on WBNW, 1120 AM. The following program is wholly sponsored and produced by Stu Taylor on Business, which is responsible for its content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and or their respective companies and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station. It is strongly recommended that all listeners conduct their own due diligence on all companies mentioned and or seek out the advice and counsel of a financial professional. The guests on this show may pay a fee to appear on the show and are not affiliated with the show in any manner. This is Stu Taylor on Business. Now, Stu Taylor.
All right. Great week of weather coming up ahead for most of us. So I welcome all of you as we begin a new week. We've got a busy show. So as I often do, let me jump right into it. We'll open up with Dr. Anthony Horvath, H-O-R-V-A-T-H. He's the author of, you ready for this? It's a great title for a book. Capital Lessism, a macro model for a national economy. And the book is published by Ex Libris. You can go to exlibris.com, barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com. And just before I formally introduce Dr. Horvath, the website, capitallessism.com. And it's spelled just the way it sounds. You've asked me to call you Anthony, so Anthony, I welcome and welcome you, and congratulations on a rather unique book. Nice of you to join us. What about your background, and how did you come about writing this?
Well, like I mentioned, I was born in Hungary and came to Canada in 1957 with my family as a teenager, escaping communism, and after the Hungarian Revolution. So I guess I was always a mischievous kid, more like an imaginative science geek, with bold ideas right from my young age. Imagine what was my first science project, an electromagnetic space propulsion system. My teachers freaked out, but Hydro-Québec in Quebec actually sponsored my project. So it gave me an incentive to be different activities. So my professional activities are more like a professional Hungarian goulash.
All right, I want to hold it there because I want to make sure we get in enough on this book. So what is capitalism? Both looking at it as it is on a level you've talked about it and conceptually, it sounds like a contradiction. A capitalist economy without capital sounds a little bit strange.
It is a capitalist system without capital, actually without the traditional concept of capital. And basically it's for situations when countries like Greece or other countries run out of capital, and well, they either kill each other or they have to survive. So to make it very short, the conceptual works like this. Imagine that we are on a cruise ship, 2,000 people got shipwrecked on a desert island. Well, our own money is not worth anything. So basically, we have to survive. We have to invent new ways of trading with each other, and new currency, gold, credit. cards are worth nothing. So this is what theoretically, and this is not such a theory because it's a mathematical evidence that in the world's exponentially growing population is running out of capital. And so basically, that's what it is.
You look at Europe, and we're hearing about austerity in Greece and elsewhere, and companies on the verge of going bankrupt. We won't go down that road, but they're talking about reducing government budget deficits. What's your opinion on austerity measures?
Well, austerity measures are basically the biggest fault of government, because capitalism actually recommends full national employment, and basically, well, allow me to laugh a bit, but I view austerity measures pretty well as, suppose you go and see your doctor, and he recommends induced anemia to increase your health. Well, it's a bit of laughter because this is what's happening. By austerity, we diminish the capital flow in the country.
You talk in the book here. Here's where it gets a little bit, I don't want to use the word strange, but it seems to be out in left field a little bit. Not so much the human factor on the economy, but the God factor. Is this got to do with social consciousness at all?
Well, the God factor actually is worth studying quite a bit, because the religious influence on people's conscience, and basically it provokes actions and social interactions. So 3-4 billion people actually believe in something. And the best example to illustrate our theory is actually the case of Israel. Israel was born and reborn built on religious values, and basically that shaped a national identity, a culture, tradition, and a distinct value system, and a successful economic community, which is so I think that the God factor is a very valid point to investigate. And there are many other instances in my book. In my book, I have actually about 80 pages that I discuss the God factor on various aspects of the economy.
You say that your concept is based on artificially created capital. I mean, how can that be trusted and work for all? You know, when we think about everybody can get something for nothing, like everybody should buy bonds, I mean, it almost sounds like a Ponzi scheme.
I admit it almost sounds like that. But actually, artificial capital creation concept is nothing new. I didn't invent it. Basically, it's been practiced for 300 years. Banks invented it. But basically, they're the only ones who benefit from it. And actually, it's called artificial reserve banking, which is creating 100 new dollars out of everyone in the reserve. So I just push it one step further. Why not create this brilliant invention invented by banks to the whole society? Why couldn't governments, in partnership with private banks, create capital and share it with the government and the people and the private industry? So this way, instead of national debt or increase in taxes, well, we could have, a fair sharing system of the created capital.
All right, we only have a couple of minutes left. I'd like you to get into, you refer to fractional reserve banking. What's that?
Oh, well, people think, you know, that the banks only loan out their deposits. It's not any further from the truth. Actually, fractional reserve banking, banks can create money. Well, in one single sentence, it's like a magic chicken hatching. Okay, you take an egg, a dollar egg, you sit on it, basically you have $1 chicken. Well, when a bank sits on it, on a magic the magic bank egg. Well, from one single dollar egg, you create 100 new chicks. That's what it is in a nutshell.
Joining us, continuing here, Anthony Horvath. The book is Capitalist, and we're just going to get right to it. We only got about a minute to go. Can you just highlight the main features of capitalism?
Reappropriation by the government of this artificial capital creation, credit control, and creation of a public-private banking network. Review and decrease the national debt. And then again, reform the taxation a bit to encourage capital circulation. Reform the election law a bit so that people have better access. The austerity measures could be outdated. And one of the main features also in the international level could be that to ease the migrant problem, if we could create an international amnesty program for dictators like Gaddafi, Saddam, or Assad that live peacefully, and we could save up trillions of dollars for peaceful users.
All right. On that note, I want to thank you. I wish we could go on, but we're out of time. The book is Capitalessism, a Macro Model for a National E/Economy. That's economy. And it's written by Dr. Anthony Horvath, published by Ex Libris. A pleasure having you on.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370, call 800-605-5370.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
BizTalkRadio.com. The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 a.m. WBNW.
This is Oliver North, host of War Stories on Fox News Channel and author of American Heroes in Special Operations. I just want you to know, Stu Taylor is a great American patriot. Don't miss his show.
Okay, where do I begin with this? First of all, let me make the statement at the beginning of this, because I think there are going to be certain people, if they pick this statement up after my opening statement, they'll say, oh, he's going to vote for Hillary Clinton. You couldn't put a gun to my head, an electric chair onto my rear end, a knife to my throat, a hand rope, and get me to vote for Hillary Clinton. So can I just say that before I make these statements? Yes, I'm voting for Donald Trump. I'm getting disillusioned in one sense and not so disillusioned in another. What the hell is wrong with this guy? I am now, like many other people out there, forced to tolerate his aberrant, out-of-control behavior. However, is it out of control? Or is this something that I believe I was the first person to predict? I really do. I really think I'm going to take credit for this. Way back when, and Trump said he thought his chances were 10% when he started. I didn't say it. Trump did. I wouldn't have given him much more than 10%. I think Trump is on a death wish not to win the presidency. I'm beginning to think it more and more. He's saying things, and I'm referring specifically to the mayor of Mexican descent. I'm the judge of Mexican descent. Now, we're all of some descent. And talking about the prejudice and the fact that if he also felt that he would receive prejudice from a Muslim judge. Now, in case number two, I can agree with his thought. I'm not going to lie about it. Hey, look, take the ultra-liberal Juan Williams, who sat on the other side of the plane when he saw people coming in Islamic garb. At PBS let him go for that. So there you go, Mr. and Mrs. Socially Correct. But I wouldn't verbalize it. He's made a statement, which I think was fine, that there has to be a vetting process so we know who the hell, as he says, who the hell is coming in this country. The comment about he's looking for the Latino vote, and the comment about this judge who was born in America, lives in Indiana, his parents are of Mexican descent, was positively disgusting. Now, I haven't said that very often on the show about Trump. Is he looking to lose this, and he can't bow out? I mean, obviously, the man can't quit the race. He can't quit the race. He was not so much of a Hillary hater before this started. I think he surprised himself. Or should I attribute this to the relentless, grueling schedule of 3 or 4 talks a day? Apparently, no preparedness. He doesn't have a masterful vocabulary or a tremendous grasp of the situation. He doesn't listen to anybody. This is precisely why I wanted Ted Cruz, in spite of his liabilities, to be the Republican nominee. Well, it didn't happen. I am now forced to yield a little ground in my perception of Trump, and yet I think I'm right on. I really think I'm right on now, because what I thought was somewhat of a stretch theory, I'm getting to think has more truth than fiction. I just got this feeling he doesn't want to win this. Now, part of it is he doesn't take any advice from anyone. He gets almost no sleep. I don't know. Frankly, a guy's going to be 70. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it. It's grueling. He doesn't use teleprompters. He has two people he reportedly listens to, Carrie Lewandowski and Hope Hicks. I've spoken with Hope Hicks a number of times. She's been a little difficult to reach recently. A 27-year-old. Doesn't have a staff, and he can certainly afford to have a huge staff of advisors. Is there another explanation? Because we know the man isn't that stupid. I mean, I listen to him, and it's the same visceral response he gets from everyone by saying the same thing and does not go into depth in any issue. I can't say I'm so much disillusioned as I am disappointed. I had an idea what Trump was, but he's proving it more every day. And what I would do is, if I'm an agnostic, I would pray to God. If I'm a religious person, I would pray to God. And if I'm an atheist, I would just pray in supporting him that he gets in, because Hillary is such a destructive force that you have to take your chances with Trump. This isn't even a matter of political ideology anymore. It's a sad and pathetic situation. And Bernie Sanders, I hope he stays in through California, but it'll be over tomorrow night officially. And then you got two lousy candidates. One of them, pure unadulterated evil. In my humble opinion, there's a new book that's coming out at the end of the month. I'm trying to think who the book is. Former Secret Service person who worked with Hillary. And we've heard this from Ed Klein. We've heard it from Roger Stone. We've heard it from others. What a vicious, foul-mouthed, intimidating person she is. The staff, I didn't hear this this is not the first time I've heard this, but I'm hearing it again. He worked there. He's got an impressive background. He basically said she's a vicious person. I think she's a liar. I think she's a traitor. I don't think Trump is a vicious person. I think he's somewhat unscrupulous, perhaps, in his business dealings. I mean, it appears that way. I think he's a hypocrite. He's not a master politician, but he just beat up 16 other people. He doesn't have I don't believe he has a comprehensive grasp of anything. And the more I sit and the more I listen to Trump, the more I say, oh my God, I should have really taken politics seriously and run for president. I think I could have held up with substantially better answers on a lot of questions. But look who he's running against. Well, look who he is running against. He's basically running against, you know, like Loretta Lynch is to Eric Holder, Hillary Clinton is to Barack Obama. They may look a little bit different. They may be of a different gender than their predecessor, but they're by and large the same. And I will tell you, those who listen to this show know that I have been extremely cautious, reserved in my assessment of Donald Trump. And I now come away saying, what is this guy doing? I think he just lost the Latino. Did he do it intentionally? It really is frustrating. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Ari Ben-Mosh. He's going to talk about the book about his father, Good for the Money, My Fight to Pay Back America.
know-how.
That power drill you bought in 96 is working about as awesome as a 20-year-old drill should, meaning not so awesome. So trade it in at Napa and get a $25 instant rebate toward a new DeWalt cordless drill kit. There's only one word to describe instantly getting $25 off a new DeWalt drill, and that word is awesome. That's Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Trade-in rebate may vary. Offer expires 6/30/16.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. We're moving offices, and it's a giant pain in the...
Bubble roll?
What?
Well, Staples has bubble roll, packing tape, all kinds of boxes, everything you need to move, and all at low prices.
Great. That's a giant load off my...
Packing peanuts?
No.
Shrink wrap?
No, but now moving will be a walk in the...
Packing tape?
Sure.
Get low prices on everything you need to move at Staples. And right now, a six-pack of Scotch Move-In store tape is $19. Staples. Make more happen. Offer ends 6/25/16.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 800-726-1031 because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-726-1031. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-726-1031. That's 800-726-1031.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
biztalkradio.com.
You're tuned in to Money Matters Boston, 1120 AM WBNW.
This is George Will. I've just had the pleasure and sheer fun of an interview with Stu Taylor. Hope you'll listen.
All right, here's a book I highly recommend. It's written by Peter Marks, staff writer with the Washington Post, Valerie Hendy at AIG's global headquarters of corporate citizenship. But our guest is Ari Ben-Moshe. He is the son of Bob Ben-Moshe. The name of the book is Good for the Money, My Fight to Pay Back America, and it's published by St. Martin's Press. It's an extraordinary story about an extraordinary individual who, by the way, passed away in February of 2015. My sympathies, as Ari, his son, will talk about the book. Ari, welcome. It's indeed a pleasure.
Nice to be here with you, Stu. Thank you.
You know, the timing, in a sense, is perfect. I think my wife DVD'd something about the 80s and Mike Milken and Ivan Bosky and all those people who destroyed our financial system, capitalized on it. And, you know, obviously that was followed by the likes of Bernie Madoff and others. Your father really represents somebody 180 degrees polar opposite, who has done a tremendous amount building companies, building American confidence, and giving something back. As the subtitle of the book says, who was Bob Ben-Moshe, and why did he write the book?
You know, when you talk about that era of the financial crisis, and you think about all these CEOs who resigned or, you know, forever tarnished their track records, you know, here's a guy who had tremendous integrity, stood for what he believed in, and he really came back out of retirement. He was the former CEO of MetLife at the time, came out of retirement in 2009 to really help make a change and help make a difference and let people know, you know, that America is still resilient. And there's still some people out there with integrity that can do really good things. And what he did was truly remarkable, is he took a company that's been beaten down, thinking that they were villains from how they were treated, for the bailout, and it was just a small group at the financial products division which caused the meltdown at AIG. And he really motivated them to get back to work. So the true heroes of the story are the 100,000 or so people of AIG that went back to work and helped pay back America, plus a $22.7 billion profit.
Yeah, it really truly is remarkable. And yet, like most brilliant people, both good and bad, and Casey, your father, everything is in the plus column. He did have a personality that sometimes, I don't know whether you'd call it a grating, certainly controversial, sometimes helped him and it sometimes didn't. Could you talk a little about that?
Yeah, so you know, this bull in the china shop, as he was sometimes portrayed, it wasn't as black and white as that. And I would say, don't kid yourself if you think he didn't know what he was doing at the time. You know, like I said before, he's to get this morale turned around, he had to be outspoken. He had to be colorful. He had to let people know that he isn't going to throw them under the bus like everybody else was. And, you know, and he was authentic. So when he said he felt that the people at AIG deserve bonuses, he meant it. He did feel they earned those bonuses. So, look, leaders, true leaders, you know, believe in their vision. They believe what they feel is right, and then they stand by that. And if that means that they have to get into a fight, that's exactly what they do. So he wouldn't exactly be looking for a fight. And then inside AIG, you know, he was tough but fair with people. He demanded results, and he made sure that throughout the organization, everyone's productivity was measured, and people were fairly compensated for that.
You think about politics in business. As Charles Krauthammer said on this show and in his book, everything is about politics, and I firmly believe that. What was his political position? I mean, I'm obviously impressed with anyone who has heated exchanges with people like Barack Obama and Andrew Cuomo. What were those relationships like? Why did this occur? And how political was your father?
So, you know, he wasn't party specific. he would tell you that he was a patriot. So I guess, you know, in real terms, that meant he was an independent. So he voted on both sides of the aisle consistently. Actually, you know, if he was still alive, he was thinking, he was a resident of Florida, that maybe he was going to run for Congress. So part of me sort of looks back and thinks, wow, what a difference that would have made if he was able to do that. But it really goes back to ideals, and it goes back to, you know, speaking your mind and not being afraid to speak your mind. There's a phrase that he uses, and I'll clean it up a little bit, but it's a G-effing. It's a grin effing. So people who go through life smiling at people, but they really have an alternative motive in the back of their mind of what's important to them. And he never did that. He was authentic. So, you know, when he had 2 minutes in the Oval Office with President Obama, he took that time because he only had a few minutes to really let him know that, look, he thinks the government needs to do a better job at telling people that the U.S. economy is actually doing better. Even though the crisis happened, people can't be afraid to put themselves out there to say what they mean and say what they think. And you have all the rating agencies. This was about making sure the companies are better capitalized. They did a good job, my dad felt. But he gave them a thumbs down for being afraid to tell the American people that they know more about these companies than they ever have before.
Yeah, I love that. You do have a couple of stories that you put in the classic realm that about your father. Obviously, there are hundreds of them. If you got just a couple of brief ones.
Classic stories?
Yeah, that really personify Ben.
You know, so like, let's think about discipline and about determination. You know, here's a guy who was battling cancer, terminal cancer, and still getting the job done. You know, I remember as a kid, we'd be at my sister and I, we'd be at the dinner table. We'd always be talking about things, and I, you know, he said, "What are you gonna do?" I said, "Oh, I'll try, Dad." And he'd throw a pencil at me or a pen on the table, and he says, "Oh, try and pick that up. Show me how you try and pick it up." So we would be, you know, childish trying to pretend to pick it up or show that we're. He says, "No, you're not picking it up." So he was really a do or do not kind of guy, and that's what he taught us, and that's what he lived by.
What do you think his impact will be in the corporate world in this country, and more importantly, in American history?
You know, my hope that everyone gets out of his story is he always felt if you give people the freedom to act and they exercise that freedom responsibly, it's amazing at what can be achieved. And he was never one to sit in his ivory tower and lead an organization. He had a town hall mentality. He had to get out in front of the people and find out what they think the issues are, and then give them the freedom and give them the ability to have the courage to act on those, and he was really a true leader in that sense.
People are fed up, you know, the 1%, and I'm a right-wing capitalist conservative, and yet I can see the disparity between those on the lower end, the dissolution and the disappearance of the middle class, and those on the upper end who are making all these outrageous salaries and bonuses. There was a controversy over the $165 million in retention bonuses paid to AIG Financial Products employees. What did your father do about that?
Well, look, this was going back to Ken Feinberg and the clawbacks, as they called it. You know, he was annoyed that everyone was complaining about the $165 million. And bonuses, which were contractually obligated as retention payments, he did, and he goes into detail about it, calls it dialing for dollars, where he actually picked up the phone and called people himself to get the money back. It wasn't all of it. It was a portion. $45 million is what they needed to get back. They had some back, and he got about half of that, the rest back. But look, he, you know, going back to a kid who was from a poor family in debt in the Catskill Mountains in Monticello, he never lived as the top 1%. And he always felt that in order to make more, you have to do more. And he was very focused on money, very focused on seizing opportunities when he got them, and working hard. That's what he believed in. So he got upset with the $165 million because no one was focusing on all the consultants that were in the room. And at that that in that same year they paid $100 million to outside consultants to oversee the people that they're paying $165 million to actually do the work. So he was very bothered by that. And tried to help people understand that it's variable pay. It's not bonuses. It's variable pay.
So, I only have a couple of minutes left here.
Sure.
You've got to move on. And I think of an interview I did years ago at Carly Fiorina, the former CEO of Hewlett-Packard, and her battles with the board. I never really realized the breadth and scope of that. Uh-oh. I guess you can't do that in 5 seconds. So let me encourage people to read it. This is a great story, the battle with then-board chairman Harvey Golub. Buy the book, Good for the Money, My Fight to Pay Back America. Ari Ben Moshe was joining us, the book written by his father, Bob Ben Moshe. Thanks so much, Ari. This is
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving. But my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call. But I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
BizTalkRadio.com.
Stories of the Legal Exchange, Sundays 2 to 3, a.m. 1120, WBNW.
This is George Will. I've just had the pleasure and sheer fun of an interview with Stu Taylor. Hope you'll listen.
All right, we're back. And I guess this is called a tease. For tomorrow, do not miss the first half. Don't miss the whole show, but don't miss the first half. Lawrence Lemer will be joining us. Had an interview with him several years ago, about his dealings with Bernie Madoff. I mean, it was one of those interviews I remembered. We hit it off so well. I met him at the Mandarin. He invited me to a private party at the Mandarin Hotel in Boston. We spent some great time together. I haven't spoken with him since, but that's how it is. Everybody's fast going off, fast in their own direction. And Lawrence Lemer will be joining us here tomorrow morning. And you can Google it if you're interested enough to see what the name of the book is. I think you're going to enjoy it. All right, I've talked about Trump, and you know, I'm like just about everybody, I'm dismayed. Newt Gingrich said it was, you know, maybe the biggest mistake he's made. And I think it was, because what I think, first of all, what he said was wrong. I can understand discrimination. I can understand racism. And I think based on this judge's particular political persuasion in the back, in his past, that Trump was coming to some conclusions, but you can't do that ahead of what's going to happen in this case in regards to Trump University. And you just can't put a blanket condemnation by saying, oh, he's Mexican. It did sound that way. Can't trust the Mexicans. Can't trust the blacks. Can't trust the Asians. Can't trust any Latino. And you're running for office, right? I can't dictate what someone's internal biases are, and nobody knows what mine are. We all have them, ladies and gentlemen. You can deny it and be self-righteous and politically correct. We all have them. And they're basically founded on past experience. So it's just, some things are just stupid to air out. And what I may say to my wife or my best friend or my brother in private, I may not say publicly. So does this make me evil? No. It just makes me like everybody else with opinions. It just means that I'm not going to create a negative issue by talking about them. And yet we've got a case that it's easy to talk about, because if there's such a thing as an open and shut case, this is it, and yet we don't know what the final results will be. Department lies, covering up the lies, admitting it. And no one has lost his or her job. I'm talking about the State Department, which lied to, it's no surprise to me, which lied to the American people to sell the Iran deal. The State Department actually came out and acknowledged this lie. And well, you hear Jen Psaki. Oh, God, does she make me sick. Put her up there at the top, this young idiot. Josh Earnest makes me sick. What is it? And it's not, this isn't an age discrimination thing about all these people under 30 who have taken over the world. And it's fine when you got the Zuckerbergs and those people who have moved into the market. But the people who don't even know what happened 10 years ago in politics are making all these decisions, like Ben Rhodes at the White House. It makes me sick. Some things, I'm sorry, warrant experience. The State Department lied to the American public to sell the deal. The State Department acknowledged it. It destroyed video evidence. And nothing happens. That's not, nobody's even disputing that. Nobody's fired. Jen Psaki, who's brainless. She's just brainless. Somebody in the media referred to her as the Pippi Longstocking of the American diplomatic project. Hey, she's a flat-out idiot. She admitted under questioning from a really competent journalist, one of the few, James Rosen of Fox News, that the State Department lied flat out about the fact that these secret talks have been going on between the United States and Iran over the Islamic terror state and their nuclear weapons program for a long time. And then she goes to try to rationalize it or justify it by saying, oh, diplomacy needs privacy. This wasn't private, not a matter of discretion. The facts were out there, and the State Department lied. If you don't have any, you know what I always say, if you don't have anything to say, don't say it. And there are always times in life, business, personal, you negotiate or you do things, and there are some things I just don't say. Clinton, I mean, her whole life is about deception and lies. I mean, she's more at ease lying and deceiving and cheating and being angry than she is. Ever see her in a relaxed situation? This doesn't even look natural. But that's not even why I'm voting for Trump. I'm voting for someone whom I believe has created many crimes and someone who has betrayed this country. I'm not even hung up all that much on conservative versus liberal policy anymore. I mean, I'm just not. What are we going to do to save this country? The State Department went to extraordinary length to lie. And Rose's question and Psaki's attempts at justifying the department's dishonesty, they're all on video. Now, you think about Nixon. What'd you have, 16 minutes that got him to resign his presidency? You've got hundreds of hours of Lois Lerner and State Department conversations regarding Benghazi, emails destroyed. Nothing happens. Tell me that it makes sense. This isn't an endorsement of Nixon. It just makes Nixon look like Mother Teresa next to these blasphemous people who are in charge today. This is unacceptable. It's unacceptable, and it destroys my faith and confidence in our own government agencies. It's absolutely unacceptable. All right, on that note, I bid you farewell, and I recommend you go over to the Drake Hotel in Chicago. On my next trip, I'll be staying there. I stay there every time I go to Chicago. You can Google it and have time to go into any real detail here. I mean, if you're going to Chicago, I mean, this is extraordinary. Tomorrow, Lawrence Lima will be joining us. Have a great day.
Opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.